Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, and Merry Christmas to you on this sixth day of Christmas. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Joe Heschmeyer and Chris Check are our guests, and we're doing a little last day of the broadcast year for us, flannel panel, where we're discussing what our listeners chose as the big stories of the year, the big trends of the year, the persons of the year in various categories. But I have forgotten to do two items of business that I have to do right now. First of all, I was supposed to tell you yesterday and today that these shows are pre-recorded because someone said to me, what if like a meteor hits and you guys are all, you know, palling around, having fun, and people think it's live, and if a meteor hits between now, the time we're recording this, and the time that this broadcast, I apologize to all the victims of the meteor. I do take meteors very seriously. It's just we don't know about it because we end our end of year survey about the 15th of December, and then we record these shows. So there's things that our listeners don't know about that could happen in the last few weeks of the year. And there's things that we don't know about, and maybe possibly one of them is a meteor strike in which a major city or even a continent was taken out, and we don't know about it, but we are against that. I just want to say that. The other item of business is I was supposed to give you a clue last hour, and I didn't, because for all 12 days of Christmas over at shop.catholic.com, you can get free books by following the clues. So here's the clue for you. Each day of Christmas, we'll be reading a clue leading you to a book title at shop.catholic.com. If you're one of the first five to locate the product and use the attached promo code, you will get it for free. Today, the sixth day of Christmas, six geese a-laying. Here's your clue. O come, the faithful praying. The serpent spies six geese a-laying. Read the clue twice. Oh, I wasn't supposed to read that part. Let me read. Pause for applause. Read the clue. Okay, here we go. O come, the faithful praying. The serpent spies six geese a-laying. Happy hunting. Get your free books by following that clue at shop.catholic.com.
Are Catholic Answers employees and their members of their extended families eligible for this?
I do not. I believe no.
Do you know the answer to this, Chris?
No. Of the clue?
Okay, I'm fooled by this clue, yeah.
No, it's something that you have to find on the website.
I'm guessing it doesn't point to
it.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah, you search the website, shop.catholic.com, and if you find that whatever matches up with that clue, I'm guessing it's an image, and then you will... then you can win.
I'm pretty sure it's not pointing to a Dashiell Hammett or a Raymond Chandler book.
We can't talk about Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler.
No, Jack during the break.
Jack told us to knock it off.
Jack during the break said that was too much self-indulgent English major stuff.
Yeah,
or I think word for word is what he said.
Well, he doesn't use big words like that, but that's what he
called
meant.
Nietzsche. He referred to...
he said Nietzsche.
he referred to two
Chandler
of the greatest writers in American literature
as
Nietzsche.
Yeah.
These are the kind of people we hire here.
Well,
and I actually gave Jack a compliment in front of the a room full of 700 people and said, Jack reads books, now I have to withdraw it.
Jack's awful bright. He's awful nice. We are very fond of Jack around here. Is this your first year here, Jack? Is this your first year?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the category of best new hire at Catholic Answers, coming in third this year,
Edgar.
Jack. Coming in second, Edgar. All right, we're going to move on.
Sarah was hired this year.
She's been here a long
Sarah's
time.
Been here.
Yeah.
2 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, she's mad now, Chris. She's mad. I think you're out of the mix now. Okay. So the trends, negative trends of the year, the two that we covered before we went
Germany.
To the break, Germany was one, but I think that meant the
Holy Roman Empire.
And then another was the transgender stuff.
My wife, I asked her this morning, and she suggested doxing.
Oh,
so that
doxing.
Was a pretty good take. Because you don't want just
her.
A bad thing. You want a bad thing that's kind of new or in the news more or something like that.
It's picking up
steam. You can't just be like, pestilence is bad. But like doxing, you know, for those who aren't hip, it's revealing someone's personal information in kind of a threatening way. You know, like you're online, you say something controversial and someone's like, I know where you live. You live at, you know, 1517 or, you know, 2020 Gillespie Way or whatever it is. And so you suddenly have to fear for your life and... People might. You
Why'd
know,
you give
drive
out my
by.
Address?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe consult with your wife before you do these
we
things.
We just put
it.
A huge.
Yeah, doxing is terrible. That's so. It's just awful. It's just. I've even heard that some of the, Like, again, not to pick on CNN, but I'm utterly disgusted by everything CNN has done lately. Apparently, they gave out people's personal information on air, some people they disagreed with this year. So
it's pretty remarkable. I mean, so Elon Musk is very anti-doxing because someone created a Twitter account that just followed his airplane, and people were, like, you know, menacing them. Like, they're driving by and just, like, not saying who they were and rolling down the windows and just staring at them and doing things that were obviously meant to intimidate. So he's made this a big news story by really coming out strongly against it. And I saw a headline that was complaining that the ban on doxing on Twitter means you can't, like, follow when, like, local sports teams come to town. And it was ridiculous.
I mean, no.
Well, you know, because they were saying, well, if you can't track the planes, how can you say when, like, the Knicks are in town? And it's like, this is the dumbest argument. You know, there are a lot of
they have a schedule on NBA.com. Just follow that schedule.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's just rude and petty and mean. And it just I think your wife picked a good bad trend because it just sums up where we are as a culture. There's no like everybody I disagree with is somebody that I should be mean to or hurt or treat rudely, or it's just nasty stuff.
Jerk culture. You know what, like,
jerk culture, is that what it's called?
Yeah, jerk culture is well said. The anonymity of the internet brings out the worst in people.
Yep.
I've encountered Catholics who have said things online that they would really regret. You know, even making
I've done it.
Was following a couple cases where people made, like, death threats against congressmen. And it's just like, hey, that's not how to do the pro-life thing well. But it's
well, I haven't done that. I said I've done it before. I knew the whole end of the story.
Yeah,
so no, I haven't done that. So
local law enforcement.
They weren't congressmen.
They weren't Congress yet.
So, you know, like, a lot of that is just bluster. It's people who aren't really thinking about the real person in their end of it.
No.
But with doxing, the danger is, like, the Kavanaugh thing. Someone actually, like, came across the country from your beloved state. California.
Oh yeah, they were gonna shoot Kavanaugh.
They're trying to kill. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Which is such a. I mean, this isn't the major part of the. What a weird choice of all the people to target there.
Yeah, but then a similar thing happened with somebody in San Francisco with Nancy Pelosi's husband. I guess somebody looking for Nancy. Like,
yeah.
Don't do that.
Right.
I don't. Like, it doesn't matter how you feel. Just don't do that to anybody. Don't. That's awful. Two other.
And
trends.
So releasing the personal information of, you know, that's it's bad form.
All right, two other trends, and this is a very general trend, but and people express it in different ways, but people have a strong sense that there was a moral decline in the year 2022. Another, that's what people say.
This compared to 2021?
I think it might be as I'm sure people feel that as an ongoing thing, but I do think people are like, what? How is it that so many people would say we are in a state of moral decline, but we seem so powerless to arrest the moral decline? Like, if I'm in a personal state of moral decline, which, you know, most days I am, at the end of the week, go to confession. Like, sorry, why as a society can we recognize the fact that we're in a state of moral decline, but we seem so powerless to arrest that decline?
Yeah, I actually don't think, Cy, that our listeners are representative society in this regard,
yeah,
because they use the language of natural law or morals or ethics or however you want to describe it. The world actually today in the main regards evil, insofar as it does regard evil, as sort of a something to be solved with either a scientific or a therapeutic or a political or a technological solution. And, you know, we just have to apply the right chemicals and social services, and then everybody's going to live a life free of suffering. So, but evil to them is not a category. It's certainly not a personal category like it is in the Bible, for example. But it's not a personal category for them, and it's not really even a moral category. It's just sort of the bad things that happen to people just because we haven't come up with the right system yet. We haven't.
Yeah.
We've come
yeah,
up with
it.
We've come up with the right system. We just haven't applied it yet. That's really what it is.
Right.
Well,
I think. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say the other trend that goes with this is, and these are not the same people, but different people will say, de-Christianizing or the failure of Christianity, which does seem to be reaching a critical point in the United States. It probably has long passed that point in Europe, but. These things are related to one another, certainly. The de-Christianizing and dehumanizing and the growth of a dehumanizing morality they go together.
Yeah.
So The Hill, you know, the political paper in D.C.,
yeah,
has an article from, this is August of this year. Record percentage says U.S. headed in wrong direction. NBC poll is the name of it. And what I found is that 21% of voters thought the nation was headed in the right direction. 74% of voters thought it was headed in the wrong direction. 58% of voters said they were worried that America's best years may already be behind us. And only 35% thought the best years were yet to come. Those are dire. It's not just like things are in the wrong direction right now,
right?
But that there's a sense in which most Americans think, you know, we might be done. Like this, we're in the declining years. This is the fall, if not the winter. This is not the springtime of the country. That's an alarming kind of stat. Now that's a U.S. specific. It's voters. It's one poll. But I think that it does speak to even people who don't have a language of morality. Even people can't put a finger on what's wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's good to know you're not crazy if you think, hey, you know, the Falcon cannot find the Falconer. Like we're spinning out of control, and it seems like
I'm the center cannot hold.
Every hour. Yeah, exactly.
one of the greatest poems of the 20th century. Thank you for quoting it.
There you go, English major again.
Yeah.
I had to do another Falcon one. I've got a Maltese Falcon last hour.
Don't go back to Dashiell Hammett.
No, Yates, that's more lowbrow, right?
Yeah, kind of, actually, yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean, in some ways, yeah. I think that not enough Christians are making the point to their fellow citizens that you want de-Christianizing, but I don't think it's going to go the way you think it's going to go. Like, we need to make the point, this is not going to work out like you think. Because I think people have the fantasy that it's all going to be like a pride parade or something. We're just all going to be liberated, and that liberation will be kind of this exhilarating thing. It ain't going to be. That's not what happens when you start, openly opposing things like families. And it'll be, many of these institutions have in their mission statements opposing the nuclear family, they'll call it. This is a big thing that's at. I'm not making this up. So this, opposing Judeo-Christian values, it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go.
So imagine a large room, an auditorium or a gymnasium or something filled with people. They're locked in there and everyone is out for himself.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
Yeah.
That's what the world will look like. So if you can imagine the hell that will be, where there's no cooperation, because when we indulge ourselves and continue to turn inwards and not outward, this is where we're headed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, for me, it's the continued decline of marriage or just the absence of marriage. It's just non-marriage.
Right.
You can't have society without marriage. There was actually a time in history where we had society without the Catholic Church, but you can't have it without marriage. The other one is the number of kids who are being raised by a screen right now.
Yeah, these are very good, Chris. And let me ask you this, then I'll go to the break and we'll do the positive trend. Because of what you just said, that kids being raised by screens and—
Oh, these are related, by the way. No, the fact that kids are being raised by screens is contributing to the fact of non-marriage.
And vice versa as well.
Yeah.
What I want to ask you is the failure of marriage, which is something that far predates the coming of Christ in the world. This was a good that secured the goods of society long before the coming of Christ. And this technological revolution we've been through, in many ways, would you say a post-Christian world is more dangerous than a pre-Christian world? Would you both agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the natural level, I mean, there's always, of course, there's room for the action of grace and supernatural activity. In a sense, there's more hope now than there was before the incarnation. I think Joe may correct me if I made a theological error there, but certainly at the natural level, it's going to be terrifying. It is going to be terrifying.
Right. All this transhumanism.
And yet there's going to be a lot of hope.
Yeah.
St. Paul says so. Grace is abundant when it's most needed. It's in the Bible.
All right. Did you want to say anything about the post-Christianism?
Well, yeah, I've got a few things. We can wait till after if that's
better. Oh, if you got
better.
A few, let's do that.
I mean, one thing, Hebrews 6 has that famous line about those who fall away. You can't re-crucify Christ. And yeah. St. Peter in 2 Peter 2 talks about those who've been ransomed by Christ and turn their back on him. He says they're worse off. And I think the point
and
is
Christ talks about the person who expels the seven demons and then they expels the demon and then seven come back. Yeah. So in a certain way, that's what Christianity is an exorcism for the world. And if the world says opens itself up to the demons again, more will come.
Yeah. And so, you know, the person who's never heard of Christ, you just think, well, maybe if once they hear of Jesus Christ, they'll change their life. The person who's heard of him and rejected him, that's more alarming because you think, well, what hope is there left? No, it's not literally. Some people have taken Hebrews 6 to literally mean like if you've ever apostatized, there's no hope for you. And that's not what he's saying, because, grace is abundant. But it is harder to see how that person comes to repentance. It's harder to see, what is it that's going to flip that switch that gets them to come home.
We'll finish up with a negative trend very quickly and then go right on to positive trend of the year from our listeners in our big end of the year survey right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
You know, we talk story with each of our very unique guests for the whole hour, so that you can go deep with us as you yourself pursue your own story of heroic virtue and as you pursue intimacy with God.
The Bear Wozniak Adventure, Saturday night, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Merry Christmas on this sixth day of Christmas. I'll give it to you again, the clue for shop.catholic.com. If you're like, oh, I just got home. I want to go on shop.catholic.com and see if I can get one of those 5 free books they're giving away. When you find this clue, just use it to get yourself a free book. If there's 5 of them, so if you're one of the first 5 that gets there. O come, the faithful praying, the serpent spies, 6 geese a-laying. If you can find an image that reminds you of that clue, you probably found yourself a free book. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check, our guests. This is our big end of the year show. And the way we do it is we ask our listeners, our Radio Club listeners and our Society 315 members, what the big stories of the year, the big persons of the year, the events, this whatnot, TV shows, movies, all that. And then we share it on the air. Right now we are in the midst of the negative trend of the year. Was there another point you wanted to make, Joe?
Well, so Jack may have to tune this out since he hates literary references, but
we're going to just get it down to like Jack hates reading. Jack hates literature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jack the illiterate. This slide does AV and not anything that involves like the written word. Jack's actually been super helpful on the podcast I do, by the way, so I don't want to tick him off too much. But there's 2 lines. Dostoevsky said, if God is dead, all things are permitted. Yeah. And it's meant to highlight this thing that it sounds like radical freedom, but if you actually read the work in which that comes, you'll see without spoiling too much that those all things might be really horrible, dastardly things. And he is playing, I think, pretty intentionally on the idea of Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche has that famous line, God is dead. And so you'll sometimes see like atheists with like that as a T-shirt or something where they're like, yeah, that's a cool slogan, God is dead. But Nietzsche does not mean like, hooray, God is dead. Nietzsche is an atheist, but he's extremely unhappy about his atheism. Yeah. He is terrified by the prospect that God is dead. His exact words, this is in the Gay Science, it's not like that. He says, God is dead, God remains dead, and we have killed him. How can we console ourselves, the murderers of all murderers? The holiest and the mightiest thing the world has ever possessed has bled to death under our knives. Who will wipe this blood from? With what water could we clean ourselves? It's a really kind of ominous kind of portent, partly because Nietzsche ends up saying, well, we need to become godlike ourselves. And he has this idea of the Übermensch, like, well, if God is dead, then we need to become gods. And there was a political party in Germany that tried to live this out. And the rest is history.
they were a political party at one time. Now Nietzsche, I just want to say this in his defense, would not have been a Nazi, but
his sister would have, and she's the one who interprets a lot of his stuff.
She would have been a Nazi.
A lot of the. Well, I mean, Hitler got a collection of Nietzsche's works for his birthday. Like, he was a fanatical Nietzsche.
Happy birthday, but, God is dead. That's a terrible present. Worst birthday present ever.
This is Hitler. You know, I don't feel bad about him getting a bad birthday present.
Maybe things would have gone differently if he got a train set. But the...
Art supplies.
Yeah, Nietzsche's the bleakness of Nietzsche and his various attempts to remedy that by creating meaning that has so many fans in the modern world utterly deluded. Nietzsche is not one of the good guys of history, and we have to stop that. Nietzsche's critiques are very helpful. Nietzsche's prescriptions are devastatingly horrible.
So I think what we've seen here is a devolution, if that's the word, or a progress in the wrong direction, where even in the time of Nietzsche, there was some thought that was put into this question. And yet now we have a brand of unbelief that is just so boring.
Just stupid unbelief.
It's just so boring. Yeah. It's just I don't care unbelief.
Yeah. No, but even in some cases, not even I don't care. I'm not even aware of that element of the world. It's not even in my everyday world to think in that way. That, I think, is a real robbery. I don't blame that person. Often it's, you know, a kid, in teens or 20s, and that person got no love at home, never experienced any kind of religious community. No one ever told this person about God. It's not their fault that they're in this position, but they are utterly separated from even the consideration of those things.
This is a cohort that we're going to address and give people, I hope, the means to speak to at our conference in September featuring Colonel George Pell. But it's called I Believe in God is the conference. Just the growing number of people who don't believe and don't care that they don't believe.
Yeah, right.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, so this crisis of meaninglessness, I actually have an episode of my new podcast, Shameless Popery, that covers this.
ShamelessJoe.com. Always say the website. ShamelessJoe.com.
That's what you're there for.
That's true.
Now we know why you're here.
Well, we found a reason.
One of the things I point out, so President Obama, one of the books he recommended people read was Yuval Noah Harari's book, Sapiens. It's supposed to be like a macro-level history of the entire human species. And one of the things Harari says is that life is meaningless and that any attempt to find meaning is just delusional. And he says our medieval ancestors were happy because they found meaning to life in collective delusions about the afterlife. And he said from a scientific point of view, human life has absolutely no meaning. And he says any meaning that people ascribe to their lives is just a delusion. He said the otherworldly meanings medieval people found in their lives were no more deluded than the modern humanist, nationalist, and capitalist meanings modern people find. The scientist who says her life is meaningful because she increases the store of human knowledge, the soldier who declares his life is meaningful because he fights to defend his homeland, and the entrepreneur who finds meaning in building a new company are no less delusional than their medieval counterparts who found meaning in reading scripture, going on a crusade, or building a new cathedral. So
that is
what this...
That's the end. The end of the world. You cannot live that way.
What is this called? It's not even nihilism.
It is a kind of nihilism. It's scientistic nihilism.
Because what it does is it hammers home something correct. Like if you think all truth comes through one end of a microscope or a telescope, you're going to find that life is utterly meaningless. Because you can't explain why it's important to look through a microscope or a telescope, because you're not going to find the answer to that question at the other end. If every bit of truth has to be scientific truth, then should we have science is not a question science can answer.
These kinds of philosophical systems they don't bear any scrutiny at all, because first of all, to call something meaningless, something has to be meaningful. Meaningless is the opposite of meaningful. You have to have the meaningfulness in order.
You can't have the deficit without having.
Right. Yeah. So here's a guy who has written.
Right, you wouldn't have colorblind as a word if there was no such thing as color.
Right.
Yeah. There'd be no atheists if there were no God. This fellow has written a book, and describing that everything is meaningless. Of course, and this includes the writing of his book.
Yes, he's written an entire. So I think
his work is meaningless. His
the
own
remedy
work
to this is just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we'll die. Like yeah. I think someone in Harari's position
indulge your passions,
say,
indulge your senses.
Yeah, just entertain yourself because your life is meaningless and it can not possibly be meaningful. Any meaning you find for yourself is just delusion. You might as well just watch Netflix. You might as well just do whatever your passions say.
Because we're coming up on a hard break, I would like to just affirm for the listener, we disagree with this guy.
Yeah,
I believe we all yes. disagree. Like, well, I think you're giving a good description of what he said, and it is a good description of a sickness that our society is suffering at the moment, a blindness, really, to see the full dimensions of what life is. But up next, Signs of Hope. We'll do hopeful trends, according to our listeners, right after this on Catholic Answers Live. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As Catholic apologetics have gotten stronger, Protestant responses have gotten stronger as well. And now they have their own answers to rebut the standard Catholic proofs. Don't fret, we've got you covered. In his new book, Meeting the Protestant Response, apologist Carlo Broussard gives well-reasoned biblical answers to Protestant comebacks. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Response today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Got to keep it moving now, fellas, because we got important categories to get to. Each year, at the end of the year, Catholic Answers sends out a survey to our Radio Club listeners and to the members of Society 315, and we ask them to tell us what are the big stories, who are the important movers and shakers of the year, what are the important films, the trends, all that stuff. And we just did the negative trends. And these, I must say.
I'm wearing my Society 315 shirt.
That's I was wondering why you're taking your shirt off. Underneath
my flannel.
I'm going to button back up. Here.
Well, no. I mean, I just want people to know they get the T-shirt if they join.
I just had a horrible gag reflex. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
My pecs.
And now we'll do some positive trends of the year. How about that? How about positive trends of the year? Again, these are so – I mean, hundreds of people respond to the survey, and the answers are so varied that it's impossible to organize them. So I just try to give you there's a lot of people that said this or a lot of people that said that. I will say this. Positive trend of the year. I love these type of answers, so I'm going to share it with you. Positive trend of the year, Archbishop Vigano. I don't know how he's a trend, but okay.
I'm not sure that trend is going in anywhere.
No.
Well, people can vote whatever they want. I just think it's funny that, you know, negative trend of the year, Germany. Positive trend, Archbishop Vigano. Well, these are not trends.
Not a good trend. Independent of our opinion of the things that Archbishop Vigano says or it's not a good trend that an archbishop of the Catholic Church is in hiding somewhere.
Oh, is he still in hiding? Yes. Guys follow the news.
That's not a good trend. Independent of the dubious things that he's been saying, let's be blunt.
Including calling into question whether Pope Francis is the real Pope.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with that listener.
As a positive trend.
At the risk of alienating a listener.
Well, here's another
friend, please.
Here's two that seem so far afield from one another, but they got several votes each, so I'll tell you both of them. The growth of the church in Africa, several people, unbidden, chose that. And several other people, Elon Musk taking over Twitter.
Those are a world apart.
We have a very various listening audience. I don't know if you can say very
well,
various.
Well, here comes everybody, as Joe said last time.
Yeah.
So any thoughts on either of those?
Those are really interesting ones. I think Musk taking over Twitter has been really, I guess I'd say this. I get the appeal of sort of spite personae, meaning this, like when you have an obnoxious edifice of like smug liberals, to see someone who's very rich and powerful come along and just like knock that down like Musk did with Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Can be really exciting. But be really cautious about supporting the rock through the window, because it may not be that good itself. You know, a Musk dressing up as like the Antichrist for Halloween and just like those kind of things. You're just like, hey, maybe this guy isn't someone we should have as like a Catholic folk
hero. How do you guys know all this news? Musk dressed up as the Antichrist for Halloween?
I did not know that.
He had like an upside down cross and like a bizarre gladiator type.
No, that's
It's not like a St. Peter's cross.
That's not a funny joke.
He plays around with this stuff. The transhumanism, he's one of the major drivers for this. Like, the enemies of Elon Musk are in many cases enemies of the Catholic Church in some way, although Christ died for them, so we don't want to dehumanize them. But the things Musk stands for, in other words, like we have much more in common in what we oppose than what we have in common. And so I just would have a word of caution for, like, getting totally on the Musk bus.
So I think people on the right make the same mistake as the people on the left, thinking, as I said in the previous segment, that the solution to our world's ills are going to come from a therapeutic or a political or a technical solution. And who owns Twitter is not going to have anything to do with whether this thing is going to be saved or not, much less whether you individually are going to be saved.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I want to lean into this point because I think this is something that
I want to hear what you have to say, Joe, but I want to finish my thought here. I want to say your likelihood of being saved is probably going to be improved if you just shut down your Twitter.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right to me.
Yeah.
All right, one of us wants to hear what you have to say, Joe. Go ahead.
No, I do too,
okay.
Joe.
Okay, Christ comes in weakness and weak.
No, Cy also wants to hear what you
sorry, Joe, go ahead.
Next topic.
Christ comes in weakness, and we keep wanting to find solutions through the worldly mechanisms of power.
Yep.
And I think this has been a mistake since Constantine, and I think it's a mistake that we continue to use, whether it's Musk, whether it's – I mean, look, for a long time, the pro-life movement sort of had this idea that if only we could overturn Roe v. Wade, then we'll have won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year shows that wasn't true. You know, no. We overturned Roe v. Wade, and there are some better pro-life laws in a handful of states. But now, instead of trying to convince 9 people, we have to convince a few hundred million that abortion is wrong. And that's, in a way, like, we've just shown, like, oh, yeah, when you focus on, like, the big, oh, those powers that be, you can forget that the real avenues of change that most of us are called to, like, make a difference for the gospel are right there in front of us. And so speaking to your neighbor about the truth of Jesus Christ is way more important than carefully following what latest news is out of Twitter or the Supreme Court or the White House or Congress or fill in the blank. And the worst place we can end up in a lot of ways is to think that the way I make a difference for Christ is every 4 years voting for a candidate that's like slightly less horrible than the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put not your trust in princes and the children of men in whom there's no salvation, said a great poet once.
Let me give you a couple more trends that people said.
Faulkner, right?
That was not Faulkner. a couple more trends. Quite a few people did say more states outlawing abortion or the advances mm-hmm. of the pro-life movement. Quite a few people also said the Eucharistic revival or Eucharistic renewal
yes.
or things along those lines. So those were all also positive trends. Any comments on those, or shall I go on? Because I got more.
If we had widespread,
I would throw in a different one.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to go a different direction completely and go with micro donations. Like one of the cool things about the interconnectedness we have.
I thought he was going to say micro dosing.
None of our listeners picked that. Not a single listener picked microdosing.
Yeah, that's crazy. And those listeners could not find the keyboard to use.
I know they don't know how to use a computer anymore. All right, Joe.
You start with microdonations.
If you've got a family tragedy and you go online, strangers from around the world will throw money to help your problem. And it's actually a really cool trend. I think it's something that's really nice. It humanizes these person-to-person connections across the world that it was very difficult to do in the past. And it resolves a little bit of the problem of what someone's been called telescopic charity, that you just write a check for someone around the world and you think that does your Christian duty.
It's a jelly
here
bee.
In human, it's more incarnation. Exactly.
Yep.
That's a Dickens reference. But you having things like GoFundMe, having things like those kind of things, in one area where we don't want to just be totally bullish on the internet is – yeah, it allows people to be connected in this new way. We're the body of Christ in an intercontinental way.
Bullish is positive. You said we don't want to be bullish.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, bearish.
We do want to be. Yeah.
I was thinking about the wrong direction for the animal. Yeah. So, yeah, it's. I think in that way, there are some real silver linings that we don't want to overlook.
Eucharistic revival is extremely important. If we had widespread belief in the real presence among Catholics, we wouldn't be killing babies in this country. That's a fact.
Yes.
I think you're exactly right about that. I'll give you one more trend that this is only one person mentioned.
Oh, can you share that story you shared with me on the phone yesterday, Joe, or the edited version thereof?
No, I'm going to have – there's a heavily edited version that's going to appear in my new book on the Eucharist. I have an exciting story about a transformation involving belief in the Eucharist, but the person involved in the story was a spy. I'm having to go through a few rounds of editing to make sure we don't accidentally release state secrets or get anybody exposed to danger. So we'll hold that thought. Read my book when it comes out this spring.
This story is worth it.
If this has anything to do with Julius and Ethel, I really want to hear this, how this turns out.
I'm just going to tell you this, story is worth the price of the book, even if the rest of the book stinks.
And it won't, because it's a Joe Heschmeyer book. It will not.
Yeah.
One person said this as their positive trend of the year. It was only one person, but I'll share it to you before we go to the break, and then we'll come back from the break with the story of the year.
Oh, we don't get to share our positive trends?
What is the news story of the year? You can do it after we come back from the break. All right. This person said, 1 year closer to the second coming. Right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
If you have a few minutes a day, you can become an EWTN media missionary in your parish, in your community, or through prayer. Be a part of Mother Angelica's mission. Place your gifts and strengths in service to Christ and His church by volunteering your time and sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Merry sixth day of Christmas. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check here. with us. One negative trend I would like to point out is Joe and Chris are so comfortable now doing the show that I have absolutely no control over it at all. I see that as a negative trend. Somebody was going to say something. Oh, you wanted to share your positive trend of the year, Chris.
I think that there are some conversations underway that are very, very hopeful. Conversation may be the wrong word. One is the sort of journalism that our friends J.D. Flynn and Ed Condon are doing over at The Pillar. And they are shining a light on corruption in the church where they see it in an honest journalism way, not a yellow journalism way. And I think that those two guys are doing a great deal for the reform of the church, much more than large institutions that are making the claim that they're...
Well, can I just add to that? Because most of the Catholic kind of online professionals, you know, who are making a living doing their podcast or whatnot, their basic way of mode of operating is, we don't have all the facts, but here's my opinion. And with JD and the whole thing at Pillar Catholic, it's just the opposite.
Well,
here's the facts.
Go take a look.
Here's the facts that we know.
Right. Go take a look at that story that they'd recently on Archbishop Paglia. And it's not a happy story, but it does need to be exposed. And they spent months gathering the data for that story. So you're absolutely right. The other thing, and it is a conversation that interests me a great deal, and I know that it's growing, and it's not just 2022, but it's the work of the Catholic Integralists, and my friends, especially Jacob Imam and Mark Barnes at New Polity magazine. These guys, among others, have made the recognition that the whole effort to square liberalism, classical liberalism, whatever you want to call it, with the gospel has been a failure. And especially that argument that that's what America did well, now we know that doesn't work. And the work that those guys at New Polity and the other integralists are doing, I think, is a very interesting intellectual trend in political theory, political, social, religious theory.
This level of conversation that's happening between the integralists and the
integralists or integralists?
I don't know, but this is why you should be Catholic, because these conversations are like, even the people I disagree with are arguing and considering the how to live as Christians in the world at a level that, I'm sorry, it's not going on anywhere else. It makes you so proud to be Catholic.
The Lamp is another good publication in this regard, I recommend.
Yeah, but I mean, First Things would take a kind of opposite position, I think, from the Lamp in general. But the work they do is very high level stuff, and I think nothing but good can come from this.
So Rob Amari, I'm blanking on the name of his new journal. But
right.
Talk
about a negative tweeter, though. Slavo Holy
Zizek.
Smokes.
Yeah,
I don't follow his Twitter.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But
I think the New Polity guys are closer to it. But yeah, Sorab has assembled a good crowd there.
Yeah, I guess what I'm seeing, and maybe just to draw
he stole
your point
somebody
with
from
the integralists
First
and,
Things.
And make it...
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh,
you,
sorry.
With your point.
Well, I was going to say more broadly, we talked earlier with the negative trends that people think the country's going in the wrong direction. The advantage to that is that it opens people up to new ideas. And a lot of those new ideas are bad, but at least people are starting to. And I mean, like, if you look at the success of the Trump campaign, the popularity of Bernie Sanders' campaign, these would have been unthinkable a generation ago. And so it speaks to, if nothing else, that ordinary Americans are saying, you know, the standard two-party solution has not gotten us the results we wanted, and we don't trust it's going to get us the results we want in the near term.
Yeah.
We don't know what we do want, but we know we want something different. And so as Catholics, what they want is ultimately not a political candidate or a political agenda or even a social structure. What they want is Jesus Christ and in a world that more closely resembles what Christ has to offer. And so I think that regardless of the big picture kind of solutions, I'm really excited to see people having those deeper.
Me too, Joe.
Maybe this isn't going well in a conversation,
right?
Because I think there's a real opportunity to present the gospel in those ways, in those contexts.
Yes,
and sometimes, you know, like you said, not all the ideas are going to be good, but what comes out of that? What when you have a moment like this of genuine intellectual ferment around a very important issue is what is the Catholic way to be a citizen? What is the Catholic understanding of states and what is the Catholic role in history, both secular and religious. These are big, important ideas that are being thought of and reevaluated in ways that it's been centuries since we've had this depth of conversation about them, and it's really good stuff. And I always recommend that people start with Patrick Deneen's book, The End of Liberalism. I think it's a great place to start.
I agree.
To see what's
another
at
of
stake.
Obama's books of the year. In addition, we mentioned one of them earlier with Species. This was another one.
Yeah. But I mean, you don't have to agree with everything Patrick Deneen says. But the start there, or another one, George Weigel, writing in almost exact opposite take. But you start to get a sense of what's at stake John Courtney Murray. I don't know why I had George in my head. What the Second Vatican Council had to say. St. Pius X Society has very interesting thinkers on these issues. I mean, a lot of great stuff is happening. And I wish people would expose themselves to it.
Why'd you say even?
What?
Even the Pius X Society.
Well, because I don't agree with their position.
They have an irregular canonical status.
Yeah, right. And
so, but it's getting resolved.
Everyone else I mentioned, from Patrick Deneen to George Weigel, are all in a... I don't know about Sohrab Ahmari. I think it might be irregular.
He's a convert to Catholicism.
Yeah, from Islam.
Yeah, but I know his Twitter might be disqualified. I'm kidding. But that's why I said that about St. Pius X Society, because they're on the...
They were very level-headed, by the way, on the COVID, on the vaccine.
Some beautiful stuff.
It's actually, there's very good theology you'll find in Angelus Magazine.
All right. I want to do a story of the year now. It's the big one, the big story of the year. I don't want you to guess, because if you guess, you're going to get it right. It's so obvious what a Catholic audience.
The Russia-Ukraine war?
No.
No. That seems like a pretty major, but okay.
That's a distant second, but thank you. You came at number two.
It's the Dobbs decision.
Of course. It's Roe versus Wade being overturned with more than 50% of the votes. It was the highest vote getter in any category that we had. And that is the story of the year, without question.
It wasn't the January 6th the hearings on January 6th.
You know what? No one even picked that. No one even picked that. I mean, there was one person who picked what I thought was the story of the year, but only one person got it. Will Smith slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars. That seemed to me that was story of the year. You guys didn't feel that?
That was this year?
That's a good point.
That's a good point, Joe says. Thank you, Joe, for that.
His hand was upon this rock.
Oh, stop it. Does that mean by the end, by the way, is that the end of a career if you do that, or can you still have a career after that?
No, he's still going to have a career. I mean, he was applauded afterwards. He was feted in an after party. They don't care.
You can commit assault and battery on national TV of a lovely person.
Look, the fascinating thing about Hollywood is it combines all the worst elements of liberalism and libertarianism in one place.
Yeah.
And if you can bring in money, there's absolutely no moral code that applies.
Went up.
Look, I don't really believe in canceling people and all that, so I don't want to be too negative about it, but that really probably should be a career ender. I mean,
Harvey Weinstein had a long and illustrious career in Hollywood, and it was no secret that he was an absolute predator. If you make money, if you are successful in your art form, they'll allow anything to happen. And so that is what makes the whole cancellation for smaller offenses. So, Will Smith, he will have a career as long as ordinary Americans decide to go to movies that he's in.
But do you have to do the interview where you go on Oprah and cry or something and talk about how I've gone to rehab for slap rehab or something like that? Slap rehab. That's a big thing for people who slap too much.
Enough coverage that people can say, oh, well, he changed his ways, because it's all like, the point of that is not to authentically convince people that he didn't mean to do it. The point of that is to let people who want to go to his movies feel okay about going to his movies. This is what we said in the last hour.
Like, I see.
Chris was saying there are some people who are so odious in terms of their morality that
the harm that they've done.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so But where you draw that line, like, do you see Taxi Driver knowing Roman Polanski directed it? Like, do you, you know, like, or
is there, it is a whatever. Brilliant movie.
Chinatown, better.
Yeah. Chinatown. Oh, Chinatown, sorry.
Chinatown's better.
By the way, it's Scorsese. Yeah, Scorsese. Scorsese did Taxi Driver.
No, you can't see it. He's so horrible, you can't see any Scorsese movies.
Actually, I don't.
I'm only kidding. I don't know.
Talented filmmaker.
I'm just messing.
Another ex-seminarian.
Yeah. Is he an ex-seminarian?
I think so. He at least discerned priesthood.
You can see all the Frank Capra and John Ford movies that you want to see.
Really?
I give everyone permission. Two great Catholic directors. Two greatest American directors.
John Wayne allegedly became a Catholic on his deathbed. So
his son is no priest, right?
That is grandson. Yeah.
Grandson.
Yep.
Yeah.
George Washington allegedly on his deathbed.
It's
shrouded in the mist of history.
That is shrouded. There we go. We're back to the mists of history with Chris. But you know what? Somebody's got to write a book on the people who converted to Catholicism on their deathbed.
Oscar Wilde.
Jean-Paul Sartre.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Not even on his deathbed, 2 weeks or 3 weeks before he died.
And I think Wilde was a couple days before.
Never heard that.
Who's the guy that in Bloody Kansas? What's the guy the Quantrill?
He
died a Catholic. He got shot. He got shot up and he was dying in Tennessee, and a Catholic priest started talking to him and he received the sacraments before he died. Somebody's got to write a book about
one
these
of
things.
The James.
I hope Catholic priests listening to this just start going to hospitals and just randomly dropping in on people and be like, "You want to become Catholic?"
Yeah,
because there's so many stories that this works a shocking number of times.
My brother was in a hospital making a Eucharistic call, and walking out of the hospital, he gets a call from someone in another room, and he says, "Father, can you come in?" And he goes in, and the fella says, "Are you a Catholic priest?" He says, "I am." He says, "I haven't been to confession in 50 years. And my brother says, "That's why I'm here."
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And priests do that all the time. Yeah. I mean,
but wedding rehearsals, that's a great time to hear confessions. And if you set up confessions an hour before a wedding, I've been told that people who would not come to confession normally, who don't normally go to church, will be like, "Oh, well, might as well go to confession while I'm here."
Joe, you and I were having dinner in Kansas City with my brother. He'd just been to a funeral heard confessions for a couple hours after the funeral.
Yeah. Let people think about issues. And look, there are some people who only go to church for weddings and funerals. If you make it really easy to go to confession there, that's enough for some people, and it makes a big difference. I think this is something we don't give enough credit to, that like life or death decisions are often spur of the moment for ordinary people. Yeah.
It reminds me of a story about Cardinal Mahoney, the much maligned Cardinal Mahoney, up in Los Angeles. But he did a thing that I thought was just brilliant when Frank Sinatra was dying. He went over to Frank Sinatra's house, rang the doorbell, and said, he wanted to see Frank. He's the Archbishop, so he goes in and he says to him, "I think it's time for you to make your confession." Frank Sinatra made his confession to him before he died.
Yeah.
So that's what priests do. I know that the priests are heroes, and so often they do these things. I have to tell you, one of the things that really impressed me about COVID was even when bishops were saying, "You can't do this, you can't do that," how many priests just said, "I have to give this person the last rites. I have to." And they went around the curtain or whatever was between them. They went in, they walked into the room and they just did it. And I don't know how we ended up celebrating Catholic priests as the last thing we do this year on Catholic Answers, but I'm going to say it was the Holy Spirit. So come Holy Spirit, and thank you and God bless you to all those wonderful priests who do that day in and day out around the world.
Especially those forgiving sins. On a time other than Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, right.
Yes, Saturday afternoon from 3 to 4. If that's when your confessions are, get some new and better times.
Cy, can I just say thank you to all of our supporters who've been so generous to us this year?
Yes,
and if you're not one of them, givecatholic.com.
Givecatholic.com.
And I want to say thank you to the great staff of Catholic Answers. We have an amazing staff here. And a lot
Even
of them,
Jack.
A lot
and
of
Jack.
Them, and Jack, Jack included.
Oh.
And a lot of them, my friends, you don't know. But without their courageous work and joyful work, The famous people like Joe and Cy.
But let me just say something. In the morning, praying the rosary, the women from the customer service, they pray for the all of our listeners, all the intentions of our listeners and our supporters.
Amen.
And so every morning you get in a rosary.
Catholics of the year.
I love my staff.
Okay, they win it. All right.
Catholic Answer staff.
The Catholic. See you next year, God willing, right here.
Catholic Answers Live.